Welcome to God Yay or Nay. I'm your host, Noor Kidwai. I'm here to find out how we grow, transform, and become our best selves, how we create meaning in our lives. Come join me on my journey. Welcome to another episode of God Yay or Nay. This is Noor Kidwai, your host. Thanks for tuning in. My guest this week is Bruno Majorana. Bruno's joining us from a village in Ecuador. He runs a YouTube channel out of there, and he talks a lot about his psychedelic experiences. And in this one, we talk a lot about ayahuasca and like the changes he's made. And it turned out to be a really great conversation. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. I really do appreciate that. And give it a good rating. That always helps out. And you can check me out on Instagram at NoorKidwai. And Facebook at Noor Kidwai Comedian. I got my first national television spot coming up in a couple weeks, so look forward to that. But let's get to this week's episode. My guest, Bruno Majorana. Welcome to another episode of God Yay or Nay. I'm here with Bruno Majorana. Bruno is a great guy from the YouTube channel based on his name. So Bruno, thanks for joining me, my man.
It's my pleasure, Noor. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So one thing you talk a lot about in your YouTube channel is about your like experiences with psychedelics and how it's kind of like brought a lot of growth and change into your life. So I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But just for my viewers, maybe give a little bit of a bio about you, like where you're from and a little bit about your life. Maybe a quick bio just because I know you traveled a lot and you have such an interesting life. So Bruno, tell our followers a little bit about yourself.
That's the thing. You mentioned I traveled a lot, and now I feel a bit uncomfortable by letting some experience define me as a person. Like, for example, I took ayahuasca, and now that is the thing I should mention, or I went to travel this, and this is the thing I should mention here. So yes, I have a name. Those are facts. Like Bruno, I grew up in South America, in Argentina.
Okay.
And yes, when I finished high school, I started traveling a bit. And then somehow I ended up as an English teacher in Asia, ended up staying there like 10 years, and I adopted a dog and came back to South America with the dog like 5 years ago. And what else? Yeah, traveled a bit in South America, always trying to explore different paths, different avenues of thought, trying to rediscover myself until, like you mentioned, I stumbled upon ayahuasca. And yeah, that was the game changer. And I guess that's what led us to meet right now, ayahuasca, right?
Exactly.
That was the catalyst.
No, that's true. Actually, you said something there that I think is pretty important. You said you try not to let your experiences define yourself.
Yeah, like my nationality, the things I did, the things I like.
Yeah, that's actually, that's a really interesting thing. I think when I took ayahuasca too, it kind of like made me understand a lot about what I'm trying to define myself about a lot. And like, I found I had like two avenues. Sometimes it was like money or like success and like those kind of things, which I think a lot of the time, like in our world growing up, we just define ourselves with that. But also it was with experiences as well, right? So like, sometimes I would be like, I'm the guy who had this kind of experience. Or sometimes I would define myself with my ayahuasca experience, but I realized that these things aren't really good for you. They don't bring you any kind of peace, and they kind of take you out of just like living your life. Did that kind of work with you? Maybe can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, it's like your ego, it wants to be recognized, or it wants that people can relate to you. So you say something that people will maybe admire. If you went to a good university, you will mention that in your bio. So I went to this university and now I work for this, just to get to be people to accept you in society. And that way your ego feels more comfortable because it's accepted. And now it doesn't have to defend themselves. It's not different than the others. It fits in society.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah, makes
sense. So if I say I did this, I did that, then my ego, maybe it feels like it's competing with other people that didn't do that or trying to show off in some way the things they did or the things that they feel defined as a person, define them as people.
No, 100%. And I felt that like exact kind of thing myself. And I used to define myself by those things. But when you kind of get rid of that
need to define yourself by outside things, it really brings a lot more peace in your life. Did you feel the same way, kind of thing?
Exactly, but sometimes I close my eyes and I already got like four new labels here that I don't know how did these labels appear. When did this happen? I don't know. And then I have to work on removing these new labels, and then next day, wow, some new labels here. Now I'm defined by this.
Yeah,
Have to
exactly.
remove all these new labels.
Ah, that's hilarious. And that's funny, like that's kind of how like your mind or your ego kind of works. Like you could get rid of a one label and then all of a sudden like a new label or 10 new labels kind of come, and you have to kind of keep with that process of like really like keeping your awareness on that, like all those labels that keep coming up so you can remove them.
Yes, maybe you feel you're grounded because of your ayahuasca experience, and after 6 months, you're back in the world and you need to do it again because you lost all the grounding you had.
So let's go a little bit deeper into ayahuasca. So how many times have you done ayahuasca, and like kind of like what's your experience or your relationship with it?
So yes, I don't let the amount of times I did it 3 times. The first time it was in Peru, then in Colombia, and then in Ecuador, where I've been living in Ecuador for the last couple of years. And yeah, the first 2 times I just got diarrhea and got very sick and some visions, but nothing groundbreaking. And the third time, yes, I had the whole death and rebirth experience. The trip lasted like 12 hours, and I literally lost consciousness. I got psychotic episode with the whole package,
Oh
and I
my.
was reborn. And after that, there was no way back. It was so intense, and I learned so much in just a couple of hours that it just redefined myself as a person and made me question and analyze everything. I had to start all over again, like learning how to speak, learning how to move my fingers, learning how to feel sensations. It was just very overwhelming.
Oh, I would have doubt that. So you like actually like lost consciousness during the trip?
Yes, definitely. Yes, I got desperate. I failed in letting go. I felt trapped. I started like banging my head against the wall with people worry, asking for a doctor, until I just couldn't anymore. And I was laying here in this grass that
Oh,
you can see
wow.
here. And I just tried to keep fighting it and fighting it. And then eventually I realized there was no way around it. I just had to go through it. I just had to learn how to let go and let myself die. And after that, I completely lost sense of myself and time and all the sensations that you feel, for example, temperature or gravity. You feel balance. You sense all your senses were gone. So I had to regain all of them very slowly after in a couple of days.
Yeah, oh my God. And like that's seen I could see how like overwhelming that would have been for you. And for people who haven't tried like ayahuasca or are not familiar with like psychedelics, just to give you an idea of like what you're talking about, like you're fighting that resistance of like the psychedelic coming onto you. Like you have to like let go. That's what all these psychedelics kind of like teach you, is to like let go and like kind of like just go with the experience and like stop trying to fight it. And like that's usually where whenever you take a psychedelic, when you start fighting it, that's where you have those like really hard times on it. But you were saying like it kind of like you kept fighting it, and then all of a sudden like you kind of just kind of forced your, it almost forced you to like kind of let go by almost like losing consciousness, right?
Literally, yes.
Oh my God. And then like when you did lose consciousness, now you're saying this kind of gave you like a rebirth experience. So like when you're coming back, you kind of like rediscover everything again almost.
Exactly. So I had already assumed that I would die. I had come to terms with the fact that that was it, that I wasn't, that this was how my life ended. And then I just closed my eyes and I was there for a while without being able to move or to feel or to say anything. And very slowly after, ayahuasca told me, okay, now you understand. Now you have let go. You understand what it means to die. This is what I had to teach you. And then it brought me back to life very, very slowly. First, I could feel some tingling in my feet. Then I could move my feet very slowly. After a while, I could sit. After a while, I could move my mouth. And then the words were coming very, very slowly. One at a time, I couldn't remember how to say most things, most words.
That's, yeah. That honestly.
And that's what letting go is about. You know, just
100%.
Accepting that you will die and accepting whatever happens without forcing it, without fighting it.
And yeah, it's a very freeing feeling. And then that like whole coming back to like the real world and like how everything's coming back like slowly, like you were saying, like, yeah, it's just a complete rediscovering of yourself. And then you can like actually like change your like kind of like your mental constructs of like pretty much how you relate to your like world and yourself and your body and everything. And like that's how you kind of like bring so much change. All right, like, so can I talk, like, because I know on your YouTube videos you talk a little bit about different things. Let's kind of, like, go into mental health a little bit, like, especially depression. Like, how did these experiences help you with your depression or, like, kind of change the way you view your depression?
So as humans, we go through different experiences, and depression is one of them. So What I discovered is that depression was like a mask that I was wearing just because I grew up in society, and society says that we have all these masks at our disposal and that in different circumstances we wear these different masks. So maybe if we are lonely, we put ourselves the mask of the depressed person. But the day after taking ayahuasca, I realized I had been playing a game my whole life, and I had been wearing all these masks, which I thought I had to wear to be accepted in society, or because I was so attached to these patterns of thought that I had been thinking this way my whole life, and I felt so comfortable like this, and I had been playing this part my whole life that I actually really believed I was depressed. I really believed this was the real, real serious issue, and this was real life. I never saw myself as somebody playing a part in which I had categorized or I had defined this experience as negative or positive because of my upbringing or because my conditioning or causalities. So it just made me redefine the whole depression experience. And now if I feel depressed, I can just, I don't want, I just enjoy the experience. And when it's finished, I just take off that mask. I put another mask just for the next experience to come, just to enjoy and live all what it means to be a human being and the experiences we have go through.
Yeah, and I like that a lot because, like you said, now when you get depressed, you kind of understand that this isn't you, right? Like, this isn't really me. It's just a mask. And like,
I was an actor.
Yeah, an actor. And like, you calling it a mask is like such a beautiful thing, because like that in itself is like pretty much saying that this is separate from me. And then when it comes back, like you said, you can just enjoy it. Like, don't fight it, because fighting it usually makes it worse. Like, that's what the psychedelics teach you. So like, just kind of be like, all right, it's there. This is just the mask. And like, when it's ready to go away, you can kind of toss it to the side almost, right?
Exactly. And once you get this point, you can just apply that concept to anything you want. If you are the drug addict, if you are suicidal, you can just see the suicidal or the drug addict label or mask and just remove it and take it off and just put on the next mask in the same way that when you have a job, maybe you're a comedian, you get off the stage and then you put another mask for a father or a husband or your hobby or whatever you want to identify yourself with after finishing your act as a comedian. But without letting any of these acts or masks or labels really take over your, without getting lost in your character. Sorry.
100%. Yeah, I love that, Bruno.
So okay. It gave me back control over my life.
It does.
Which I had lost.
Yeah. And like, so you were saying, yes, I just saw your dog there. Cute.
Just seeing that.
Oh yeah, what a cute dog. So you were saying, like talking about like addiction and suicide as well. Like, I know in your videos you kind of open up a little bit about that. So like, maybe can you kind of like give us a little idea of like where you were before ayahuasca, and then how that changed after, especially with addiction and like maybe even like your suicidal thoughts as well?
Yes, so that's three things. Where I was before with addiction and suicide. Yeah, so where I was before, I was just bouncing back and forth between religion, philosophy, psychology, between experiences, between traveling, just trying to find answer, find a way to everything, to all this, to the pain that involves having a body or being a human, trying to find some mentor, some tutor, some doctrine, some philosophy or religion that actually explains or teaches me this, without understanding that I needed to rewire and remove the problem from the root, not just patching it up. And what all these religions or psychological theories were doing was just trying to patch this thing, patch the problem, or teaching you this little concept without tackling the source of the problem, which was that I was very attached to the thought processes that I had cultivated my whole life. And about suicide, yeah, I was addiction. Yeah, I was drinking almost every day. I even drank the day before taking ayahuasca, which is really bad because you should do like a diet and you should.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like getting drunk the day before taking ayahuasca. And yeah, ayahuasca never felt, and it's not just physical drugs, it's just emotional drugs. I was very, very attached to my dog. I felt like my dog defined me as a person. And without my dog, I will feel lonely or empty. Or if I don't have a partner or a couple, then I will also feel addicted to love, to affection, addicted to my own search or my own experiences, which I told you that I felt defined me as a person. Mm-hmm. And ayahuasca from one day to the other just removed all the psychological addiction and the physical addiction. So I wasn't craving for any kind of drug anymore, and not craving for any other psychological reinforcement that would help me accept myself or get through the day.
Yeah, no, I could see that. And you said you also... Oh, sorry?
It was a game changer.
Yeah, of course. And you said, was it the same thing like... because you used to have suicidal thoughts as well?
I guess we all... Yes, I guess we all do in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I never really took action, I was about to take action. I was also trapped in this mentality that I am depressed because I'm the victim of the circumstances. So I felt myself, okay, I am unlucky because this happened to me as a child. I had a tough childhood, and then this other experience defined me as a person. And now the pain is too much. And I, you know, when you're depressed, you don't see there's a whole world out there. You just see where you are and you feel you're trapped and there's nothing else. Mm-hmm. And unless you rewire your brain like ayahuasca or psychedelics does, it will take you years of meditation and therapy, 10, 20 years in something that you could do in one day with ayahuasca.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And like you said, it just kind of like rewires your brain, like, so you're not like completely identified with it. And yeah, that's like the cool thing about ayahuasca, because it's like you start to notice how your brain or your mind is just completely like wired to like so many different things that you were just not even expecting. Like we say depression or these suicidal thoughts or like kind of like all of that stuff, but like there's just so many other like social constructs that like we're just like how we were brought up, like it's just kind of weird how we can like all of a sudden like change those patterns just when we just all of a sudden recognize them. Like even like I remember you were talking about like your relationship with money, like you said like it kind of changed the way, like after ayahuasca your relationship with money changed, and this actually happened with me as well. And just like how you look at money now in your career, like how did that change like after ayahuasca?
It was like being trapped in the hamster wheel. And then you just get off and you saw, well, I was trapped in a hamster wheel. And yes, you're always chasing for something and you realize it will never be enough. You always want or money or experiences or being enlightened or knowing more things or more self-discovery. So you're trapped in a race that you can never win. And after ayahuasca, you realize that you are what you're looking for. And that wheel you were trapped in, it was just a game. And everything I had been looking for, I was before taking ayahuasca, and after taking ayahuasca, my salary was exactly the same. I didn't change jobs. And before I felt, okay, I need to work more because this is not enough. And after the day after ayahuasca, I said, whoa, I can pay rent and pay for food and I still have money to save. I'm so lucky. And like half the population in the world cannot even don't have money for to save, and I just realized what I had without having to change anything.
And how about like with your career or like with social media? Because like you were talking about like I remember in the video you were talking about like how you change your relationship with social media. Like you used to just like kind of like go for clicks or something, or like how do you explain that?
So we're always in a competition. If you are in SEO, you're competing for the first page of Google. You're competing with other websites. Or if you're on YouTube, you need to compete with other YouTubers. You need to tell your viewers to subscribe or watch, or you need to buy views or pay for comments or pay for people to watch your videos, just to, so you can have that edge that will put you ahead of the competition. And once you take ayahuasca, you just stop seeing life as a competition, not just in social media, but in your daily life. Maybe you're competing with your significant others to see who does the dishes today, or who does more things in the house, or you're competing with your brother or sister to see who looks after your parents. Just the competitions we go through in life are the same that we're going through social media. And once you take ayahuasca, you just get rid of all those sorts of games you were playing to try to be the best at something or try to be accepted by society. You don't have that need to for approval anymore. You can just do what really truly makes you happy without having to worry about what others will think. At the same time, without sitting too close to the fire and while still being grounded enough to pay rent and to pay for food and to look after your loved ones without having to go live in a mountain just to reject everything because you realize it was all fake. This is kind of really understanding the society you live in without having to isolate yourself and escape from everything.
Yeah, 100%. And like, yeah, you don't need to escape from everything, but like understanding that that is just competition and you don't really need to like be going into that hamster wheel, like you were saying, like constantly, because it really doesn't bring out your best. And like one thing I've noticed as well, like when you get out of that competition mode and then you kind of like start doing things for yourself, like you're just kind of like, okay, like I want to do this because it brings me peace. And it seems like that's what you're doing with your YouTube videos. It's just like, this is what I like talking about, this is what I want to do, and like this is what where this podcast came from, honestly, because like I don't think I would have been like coming out with a podcast about these kind of subjects if I was like, oh, I want to go and like compete and make as much money. But like now it's like, no, I like this is kind of like what I really love talking about. Like this is stuff that like just naturally I love it. And like when I come and do a podcast and have these conversations, I'm usually really excited because I'm like, ooh, today I gotta talk about ayahuasca and stuff, you know? And like I love these kind of like conversations. So like now, like just like because I got out of that competitive mindset, it just brought me to this, which I love doing. And because of it, like I'm actually starting to see people who like really resonate with me that kind of continually start listening to me. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so this is like kind of like how you could like just if you get out of that competitive mindset, you can kind of really find your niche and like really find your place, like where you're supposed to be in. And like it's a lot more peaceful. And did you kind of feel the same way, like it kind of happened with you as well, especially with like starting your YouTube channel?
Yes, exactly the same. Yeah, exactly the same. And it's also worth mentioning that when you accept yourself, before I never made videos because I was scared. I hate my voice. I was scared of how could I look or sound in camera. But ayahuasca helped me accept myself. And now I feel like I can do anything I want. And in your case, if you are doing this podcast, this will also these videos will also help for real life. So people love seeing someone real. They don't want somebody who is just looking for an angle to try to sell them something or to take them to turn them into their followers or to push them their way of thinking. So after you finish this podcast, maybe you can do whatever you want because people already know, okay, this is you, this is real you, this is what you believe, this is who you are. You don't have an agenda or something, and it actually really helps for our interactions in real life to so people to see that we are normal, real people, and we don't have hidden motives.
Yeah, and you know what? You said that kind of perfectly. I liked how you said like you came back from ayahuasca and it gave you like that kind of confidence to do this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. Like, so in February I went to Mexico and did a bunch of ceremonies out there, but like when I came back from it, like even like during my ayahuasca trips, it was like telling me like, all right, go back. Like you've always like you wanted to do a podcast, like go start now and like talk about this experience. That's how you start. And once you start, you'll just start going. And like that's what I did. I went and I recorded my first episode, and once that happened, it just started going and I just started growing with it. And like I had those same fears as you did. I was like really hated my voice. I really wasn't confident, and like I just like before even like even in stand-up comedy, like just before I did those ayahuasca things, I just had this like thing inside me where I just didn't believe in myself fully. And like just because of that, there was this like lack of confidence. And even some like really good comedians, they would tell me that too. Like they would say like your writing's amazing, but like there's just something with you on stage, like there's just like a tad, like you're just a little off on that confidence. And like I think people can subconsciously just kind of pick that up. And you're not just hit, you're just not like hitting as hard because of that. But like it was after that ayahuasca, for some reason, it just made me believe in myself more. It got rid of so many of my fears, and it just gave me that attitude of just like go and do it and like go see where it grows. Like stop looking at it like what, like stop looking at it like every move you have to make has to like fucking like hit so hard, you know? Like every move you make has to be like the end all be all. Like just start like planting that seed and let it grow and see where it grows. And if it doesn't, that's fine. And like just kind of grow with it. And like it gave me this like belief in myself where I like actually now I believe in myself that, and I'm like so much more confident. And even in my comedy, it's like improved like a hundredfold just from that thing, just because now I like have that inner confidence, which is just like so silent. And like I don't, and like you said, all those fears, all those doubts and stuff, I see them as masks now. I see them as a mask that comes, and I can now look at it and be like, hey, this fear isn't me. And like it just kind of eventually like dissipates because of that. And yeah, it's helped out so much. But you kind of feel the same way, eh?
Yes, and I feel the confidence also try to help people, because if you have seen my videos, like 90% they're how to videos, how to do this, how to do that. And before, when I had Instagram, maybe I would also take a picture of my breakfast or something like really meaningless, like who could benefit from a picture of my breakfast? But now I feel like, yeah, I was depressed. Now I came out and I could probably help people and actually contribute to society in a way that I find myself meaningful, and it makes me grow as well as the others grow together with them.
All right. Also, let's talk about your dog a little bit, because your dog's always in your videos, and like he's the cutest little guy. And even like you were saying, ayahuasca kind of help with your like dealing with your dog as well, eh?
Yes, my relationship with my dog had been deeply affected by popular culture or by just living in society. So society tells you that you have to humanize your dog, and you have to think that your dog has the same feelings as humans have, and you have to get very attached, and your dog has to be the center of your world because you are the center of his or her world. So I had all these preconceptions about my relationship with my dog, and I was always petting her, making sure she was okay, making sure she always is, she walks a lot, she has everything she needs, she's always happy and healthy. And now I can just see her there laying down, and I'm happy to know that she's a dog and she does things that dogs do. She doesn't need to come sleep in my bed. She's happy to lay in the grass or just to be free and sniff and do things that dogs do. And I don't need to feel guilty or feel my relationship with my dog define me as a person and that I have to defend that relationship or protect it. I know she will die. I know I will die. And that's like totally cool and totally normal. Everyone will die. And we had a great time. And I don't need to feel sorry or feel like I have to enjoy every moment with her or every second is precious because her life is shorter than mine. So it just took out all the grieving that you have. Because society tells you have to grieve and you have to feel sad if this happens. You have to feel sad if the dog dies, if the dog gets sick, or if you get sick. Like we put these labels on emotions. We say, okay, this emotion is negative, this one is positive. And then if you don't follow the rules that society says this is positive or negative, maybe society will isolate you or vanish you, or it will be difficult to find a job or something unless you play by society's rules. But ayahuasca just redefined all these rules. Now I can be myself and do whatever I want without having to worry.
And it kind of seems like your relationship with your dog's like almost like it was almost like the overprotective parent before, eh?
Yes, and this is just an example, but we all have some twisted relationships with others, with our colleagues, our partners, our parents, or with ourselves. And just a blink of an eye or a few hours, ayahuasca just fixed all those broken wires in my brain.
Yeah, and I'm like
Screw loose.
100%, and like I know I remember talking with one of the shamans who was doing the ayahuasca, and he told me like one thing with ayahuasca, it always tells you about your relationships in your life. Like that's like a really big important thing that like ayahuasca focuses your like awareness on. And I remember like many times, like a few times I've done ayahuasca, I have almost had like a complete like overview of every relationship in my life, and it would go from person to person and kind of like show me like kind of how a relationship is. And like it also like kind of made me like show me like how to be grateful for a person in your life, and also like a healthy way of like just being able to like be with that person and like relate with that person, and like also shows me some of the unhealthy ways I related with people. And like a lot of the time it came down to competition or something along those lines. Like we try to compete with like so many people, even our friends, our family, and it's just stupid stuff. Like that competition just brings ill will between us. And like that's one thing ayahuasca would do. It would almost go with like I would almost like go from, all right, now we'll talk about this relationship in your life, and then all of a sudden I'm talking the ayahuasca is showing me like a person in my life and like my relationship with them, and like how you can like make that relationship better. So yeah, that's amazing, like how you're talking about your dog as well, and like how it just completely switched the way you related with your dog, and now you can just kind of like be and experience be with your dog and just like be completely at peace with your dog, and like the experience is more fruitful.
Yeah, that was beautiful what you said about how it showed you, it helped you. Well, you said it talked to you, it showed you, okay, now we need to work on this relationship. Okay, this one is fixed. Let's go to the next one. This one is fixed. But in my case, it wasn't like it showed me or it talked me. It was like it really grabbed me from back of my head and it just pushed my head or just drove it down my throat in a really, really aggressive way. Like, now you understand? Now you understand? And until I didn't really understand, it just didn't let me go. And now you see, right? It wasn't like a nice experience. It was hell on earth. It was like being trapped in a black hole or being in the center of a tornado. Or it was like you don't know what's happening and everything's spinning and you go and you come back. And
And I think that's kind of the way you describe your ayahuasca experience, especially your third one. That whole rebirth thing. So like, yeah, it seemed like you had that experience, like it just shoved down your throat, which I've heard people who've had that kind of experience when it's just like it's huge, and like those become like they like make such huge
breakthrough.
transformations in like one day. So like I think with my ayahuasca experiences, and it might also be because I've done it a lot more, I usually see a lot more gradual changes. And yeah, I think that's kind of the little bit of a difference, because like you've done it 3 times, but that third time I think the ayahuasca's like, all right, we're changing this guy right now, and you get a freaking huge ass change thrown into your lap.
Yes, and it showed me that everything I had learned, everything that I didn't need to try ever again, because I didn't feel like there was something else I could learn or something else that could happen. I felt like this was it. This was a breakthrough I was searching for 35 years. I'm 35 now. This was it. The experience that defined
And
everything.
and it does seem like definitely a defining experience. All right, man, this is the name of the podcast, so I gotta ask you, Bruno, God yay or nay?
Definitely yay, in the sense that we are God, in the sense that we are connected to everything and we are all powerful and we have unlimited potential if we can remove all this fear we have been embedded with.
And because you said you used to kind of like study like religion and stuff like that, so
every religion fed up with that.
Yeah, okay. So like what did you used to think with like the religion and like how did you go away from that? Why are you fed up with it?
This, so before I needed someone to show me. I needed this book to tell me what to think. I needed this mentor to show me the way. I needed this doctrine to show me. But ayahuasca told me I was what I was looking for, and it was all inside me. I didn't need this mentor, religion, philosophy, this book. I didn't even need anything. And the things that you learn, they cannot even be described with words. So once you start thinking of the spoken language or the visual language or the written language, it just vanishes. It's just taking you the whole different direction. Once you try to do this meditation for 10 hours or try to meditate more than this other person or be more aware than your neighbor or be here in the moment because somebody told you that you are not in the moment. So somebody told you, no, you have to be more in the moment because you are not, you feel guilty for not being in the moment, and you compete with yourself to be more in the moment or more aware than before. And ayahuasca just gets rid of all that, toss it in the trash, and tells you, you are you. This is it. There's nothing else.
I actually got I like that kind of belief, like how you kind of say like you are God, like and just in the sense that like kind of your experience is like kind of like the main thing. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Exactly. You could call it God because probably because of your culture, or we need to put it some define it in some way. But you could also instead of call it God, you could call it enlightenment, or you could call it it. It's just it. And when you realize this is it, and you are it, you are everything, you are all the people, you are all the creatures in the universe, all the stars, then you can finally do, oh, yes, this was it. Yes, I am God. Yes, I am everything. Yes, now I understand.
All
Your
right.
search is over. That, oof.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Actually, and like I've had that on the ayahuasca too, where there was like one trip I remember where it just made me feel so connected with everything, and it just like I just felt it, and like I was just like, holy shit! Like it just gave me that mindset of like, holy shit! Like this is like God, we are like it's all of us, like we're just completely connected, and like it's the funny thing about that, like it gave you that relief of just like, oh, like I don't need to worry about anything. It's just like all your worries, all your fears just completely vanish, and you're just kind of like sitting there like, wow, like we are just completely connected. Like I don't need to worry about that, about death or like any of that shit, and like and then you kind of like it makes you kind of feel of like what eternity is, like how like everything is just so much bigger than you, like the fact that you even like look at like your like petty little like your petty little like freaking
Existence.
fears or your petty little things that you think about, like it's just so like insignificant. So like no, I remember having that feeling this last February actually when I did like ayahuasca, and like it was just like a completely freeing experience, and then like you just kind of like holy shit, you do feel kind of connected with everything.
Yes, and you said God, yay or nay. So I think like, yeah, who cares? So God or this enlightenment or not enlightenment or meditation or no meditation or God, like who cares? This is it. Just take a deep breath and that's it. That's all you were looking for. You didn't need a God to tell you or some experience to define you, or this is it. Just take a deep breath and enjoy it.
And no, that's actually at the end of the day, that's where it like it always takes you back to is just like just take a deep breath and enjoy it, just like kind of be present, be like in the moment, and just kind of like this is it, you're right, this is all that it is, like how
There's
they say.
karma, no God, or dharma, or mantra. Mantra for just enjoy.
Exactly, 100%, and like yeah, like the whole saying, like all there is the present moment is true, and like once you kind of do start experiencing the present moment for what it is, then you can just kind of sit there and like yeah, and then you can like start to cultivate that like okay, like be in the present moment as much as you can in your life, because that is where like that's all there it is, so like it is true, and yeah, no, thanks for putting that so clearly for us.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, we're almost done here. One thing I am I do want to kind of like know a little bit about you just before we get out of here. Like, can you tell us a little bit about your travelings? Like, 'cause you said you've been all over the place, and like, just kind of why did you go traveling when you were kind of younger and stuff, and like, where did it bring you, and what did you kind of learn from it?
Oof, well, that's a big
It
question.
is a big question.
So I was on the brink of suicide when I was 18. I got the chance. I escaped from Argentina. I got the chance to move to Spain, stay there for a year. I met a girl, moved to Germany with that girl, stayed in Germany for a year, learned German, traveled around Europe for a year by bicycle, by hitchhiking, visited almost every country in Europe, trying to seek. I was like 20, still seeking all these experiences that I felt like this was the time to do it, and it was the time to travel. And then I found a really cheap flight to Pakistan for like $100, and ended up staying in India, also looking for all these ashrams and philosophies, like 6 months, and then went to Southeast Asia, got a job as a teacher teaching English, ended up staying there for like a year, went to China, kept teaching English, stayed there for a few years, went to Australia, stayed there for a few years. Did some medical trials to save money, went back to Asia, ended up staying like 5 years, and did some meditation also in Japan for a year. Was teaching English in Korea, in Taiwan for a year, went back to Thailand, went back to China, went back to Australia, met another girl, traveled together, bought a motorbike in Asia, traveling Asia by motorbike. Went back to China, stayed there for 2 years teaching English. From China, I got the dog, came to South America, looking for more experiences, went to Argentina, started a trip on foot with my dog in Argentina. We just walked for 6 months, no bus, no hitchhike, no bicycle, nothing. Just walking for 6 months, crossed four provinces in Argentina. We settled down in Argentina for 6 months to work in a hotel. I met another girl and came here with that girl to Ecuador, where I live now. So came from Argentina overland, looking for all these ayahuasca and other kinds of spiritual experiences, trying to being in that hamster wheel of the experiences of seeing as many countries as possible, seeing as many places, and then feeling the ego grow when you travel more, then you feel your ego gets bigger and bigger. Like, now I know more languages. Now I met more people. Now I have more experiences that I can feel safe when they define me. And here's how it all ends in Ecuador, where I live. I'm finally happy where I am without the need of keep seeking for other places or seeking for other experiences. I finally found what I was looking for after traveling for 15 years and working in 20 countries.
Yeah, and you were saying like that a lot of your traveling was like you seeking something, so it was like a constantly like seeking more experiences kind of thing.
And competing with other travelers to see who travels to more countries by hitchhiking, who spends less money, who can live on 50 cents a day, who can fix a motorbike when you travel, or who can travel, be more resourceful to get all these paperwork you need to get all the visas. It's just a whole competition with yourself, trying to do more than what you were doing yesterday because you feel like it's not enough, like you always need more, like what you have here is not enough. So you always keep searching for something until you finally find it. Like I found it now, but maybe some people, when they die, they realize, oh, I was just searching for something that it was here the whole time.
So like why don't you contrast, like tell us a little bit about your where you're living right now in Ecuador, just so we can kind of understand now like how your life is and the kind of difference that like the complete difference than what you were before when you were just traveling everywhere.
Yes, so I am content in this place where I am, even though it's not so different than other places where I lived in Malaysia or in Thailand, in China. I also live in a small village in China for a few years, and then another small village, and it was pretty similar here actually. But somehow I felt like that wasn't enough, like I had to go somewhere else. So my life here, well, we go camping on the weekends. I try to spend 48 hours away from the computer and the phone. Just don't take the phone, the computer for 48 hours. Monday to Friday in the mornings, we go hiking in the mountain, and that's where I make the videos from the YouTube channel. In the afternoon, we go for a swim. Depends on how the tide is. If the tide is low, then we go swim in the morning. The tide is low in the morning, have some simple meals. We have nothing fancy. We don't have any furniture, nothing besides my computer and the clothes I'm wearing. Just a simple life, lots of outdoor activities, and pursuing my hobbies. I play violin, I read a lot, and I do lots of stuff online, like you may have noticed.
Mm-hmm. And so right now in Ecuador, you said like this is like kind of a village you're living in, and like this is right on the ocean and mountains as well.
In between, yes, in between. I don't know if you can see the mountains there.
Oh yeah, I could see them there.
And just behind this house is the ocean. The city is called Santa Marianita. It's like 1 hour away, well, maybe half an hour away from Manta, which is kind of a big city in Ecuador.
Oh wow, that sounds hey man, that sounds like a beautiful place. I really dig that. And I love that.
It's like $300 a month, live like a king, and just enjoy and pursue your hobbies, pursue your passions, and live like swimming on the ocean every day.
No, I love that. And I really do love the idea of like how like a lot of your early life, especially your 20s and stuff, was just searching, constantly moving, constantly trying to fill up experience.
More stamps.
Yeah, more stamps. And I know that mindset because like, and that's a funny thing about the traveling mindset and how that's different than like more of the materialistic mindset that a lot of people have who don't travel a lot. A lot of people with the materialistic mindset, it's more about accumulating success and accumulating like different stuff like money and like cars and crap like that, right? So like, and then like when you go to the traveling mindset, it's more about like being able to have as many experiences as you can and like being able to do that like without spending like as much money. So I find those things funny, but they're coming from the same place. It's a constant seeking outwards, right? And then like I love how you said like now you found like just like this perfect place, and it's like this small village in the mountains. You have the sea, and now you've become like so much more content. And like it seems like you have such a fulfilling life of just being like, hey, I love to swim, I love to walk through the mountains, I love to make these videos, I practice the violin. So like now it seems like you just found like so much fulfillment, and you just kind of stopped seeking, and now you're just kind of like how you said, like you're just here, you're in the now, and you're just kind of enjoying. I don't know. Is that am I kind of saying that properly?
Of course. So the takeaway is that it was not the place, because I had been like a million beautiful places, as cheap, as nice and safe as this one, but it was me the problem. And the thing you mentioned about the same situation in the 9-to-5 than in the traveling. Maybe if you're a Buddhist monk, you try to meditate for more hours than the Buddhist monk next to you. If you're a student, you need to study, or if you're a scientist, you need to have more discoveries. And we are all trapped in our own hamster wheel. Some are in the office environment, some are in the traveling environment, some are in another environment, but the whole life is a big trap. And society is just full of these social constructs designed to enslave you or to deny human nature, which is that you are what you're looking for. And this place right here is perfect, and most places I have been before were also place perfect, but I just didn't see it.
I love that, man. All right, Bruno, that was our time. Thank you so much for doing this. Tell people about your YouTube channel, and I'll make sure to put a link in the description of the podcast. But tell people about your YouTube channel and anything else you want to tell them. Feel free to tell them now.
My YouTube channel. So this YouTube channel, I started it the day after taking ayahuasca, and just try to teach people all the things I learned in one day of the ayahuasca experience. And it's actually, I already recorded 200 videos, and I scheduled them for them to be published for the next 1.5 years. So I did all the hard work already the first few months after taking ayahuasca. I was recording like 10 videos per day the first month. Oh, and now they are all scheduled, and they are publishing once or twice, every few times per week.
Oh,
and it's all about metaphysics, related to the meaning of life, the meaning of existence, what it means to be human, life after death. There are also lots of tips to travel with your dog, how to keep your dog safe, how to train your dog to be a service dog. I also have a disability called retinitis pigmentosa, so I give tips about how to deal with this disability, things I learned, confidence. I used to teach Spanish, so I give tips about how to learn Spanish or learn other languages yourself. So it's a bit of everything.
All right, awesome, Bruno. So yeah, I'll put that link in the description, and hopefully people will go and check it out, my man. But that was amazing. Thank you so much for doing this, Bruno.
It's my pleasure.
All right, that was this week's episode. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I appreciate it. Please subscribe to the podcast. Give it a good rating. It really does help. And also check me out on social media. On Instagram and Twitter, it's at NoorKidY. On Facebook, it's NoorKidY Comedian. I'm constantly putting updates about the podcast when new ones come out. I put up podcast clips. And yeah, I also put up comedy stuff, comedy dates, comedy clips, and different stuff like that. So you can come check out, have a laugh, and keep up to date on the podcast. Until next time, this is another episode of God Yay or Nay.